Hello, hockey fans, and welcome once again to the Vegas Hockey Podcast. I'm Mark Warner, along with Chris Lisa.
Hey, Mark, it's great to be here, and this is a special show for a lot of reasons.
We are now going to be affiliated with the inaugural launch of the Hockey Writers podcast page over at thehockeywriters.com. We're talking with J.D. Stiles from Cali Sports News, reporting live from the Stanley Cup Finals. And today we're being joined by the first general manager in Las Vegas franchise history, George McPhee.
With Pat Quinn, you know, might be the finest man I've ever met in my life.
This is the Vegas Hockey Podcast. We're talking with Quinn Malarchuk.
There's something about George McPhee that everybody says is a good fit.
This is the Vegas Hockey Podcast, and we're talking with Dan Lane, play-by-play voice of the MLB Rebel Hockey Team and owner of Dan Lane Sports. Joining us now is Matt Pryor of thehockeywriters.com. He's coming to us from the Dallas Stars training camp. All right, hockey fans, welcome back to another edition of the Vegas Hockey Podcast. I'm Mark Warner, along with Chris Lisa, coming in, and will now be joining us for a weekly segment. Dana Lane from Dana Lane Sports and the play-by-play voice of UNLV Skating Rebels Hockey. Dana, thank you for joining us, and it's a pleasure to be working with you on a weekly basis, sir.
Well, I appreciate you asking. It's anything I could do to talk about hockey and talk about Vegas and UNLV, and we get this thing rolling a little bit here, so people are, if we create these outlets for people to be interested in the sport, you know, it's just going to make our NHL team that much stronger.
For sure. And Chris, good evening from out on Long Island. Not quite late out there, but getting into the later hours of the evening. You're going to be able to stay awake for us?
I will. It's cold out here.
Is it?
It's cold.
Cold as in, like,
yeah, cold as, yeah.
50 degrees or what?
It's in the high 50s, but it's windy. It's cold. Cold and a little rainy.
Wow.
So it's almost like that hockey weather going on out here.
I woke up this morning, my car battery was dead. So I go back in the garage, grab the jumper cables, come outside, it starts pouring rain on me. So that was the start of my day. And then by the time I got to work, it was, I think it was already 80 degrees. The rain had stopped, and it was just humid and hot. And then we got to crawl around on concrete slabs running conduit today. So I am ready to talk hockey and relax and have a good time this evening. So thanks for joining me, fellas. Dana, we had a pretty solid weekend up in Utah. Why don't you update us on the UNLV Skating Rebs, undefeated Skating Rebs, I might add.
Yeah, we'll do a big weekend in Utah because not only did they take all three games against Utah State, Weber State, and Utah Valleys, but two of those teams, Utah State and Weber State, are both of the teams that were ahead of them in the standings last year. So they kind of circled those games as kind of payback games. And, of course, that they won all three, so they go to 5-0. They'll come home this week and also play Weber State in two games, which is going to be very interesting. Because the Rebels are a little beat up. We lost their starting goaltender, and we have the depth is certainly going to be tested. The depth is something that they have, so it's not it's something that they're worried about too much. Because I love their backup goaltender. I think Eric Ideson and Alex Spieth have shown that they can man the pipes pretty well. But a lot of the guys are banged up, and they will face a Weber State team that not only is responsible for a lot of those injuries, but also a team that is very physical. So they will have to be mentally prepared Friday night at Sobey Arena at 8:45 Pacific time.
All right. And then, again, let's talk about in 2 weeks' time, at the tail end of the Frozen Fury weekend, there's a game against ASU there right at the T-Mobile, which will be UNLV's first game at the T-Mobile. All proceeds from that game are going to go to the Skating Rebels, so you guys get out there and support your local hockey team. With that, we were talking a little bit off the air about the practice facility ceremony they're going to do, groundbreaking next week. Fill us in a little bit on that too, if you could.
Yeah, on the 8th of October, or I'm sorry, next Saturday, which I believe is the 5th of October, they will have a groundbreaking ceremony, and Bill Foley will be there, and McVee will be there, and I'll have some dignitaries there to officially break ground. Of course, they've been pushing dirt around there for about 10 days now. And it's funny because Murray Craven has a little trailer out there that he kind of stays in, and he's able to work from there. And, you know, they're going to have two sheets of beautiful ice there that is not only going to be a facility for the NHL team, but it's also going to be a facility for the community. And where it is, right in back of the Red Rock Hotel, is certainly smack dab in the middle of Summerlin. So those kids will now be able to skate. And I heard today, you know, they were talking about West Coast hockey on the NHL network this morning. And, you know, they were talking about how in Los Angeles and in Phoenix and all these spots where you would say it's a non-traditional hockey market, which is an absolute, you know, ridiculous statement to me. Only in hockey do we worry about if a city is traditional or non-traditional. But the fact of the matter is you get so many of these people moving from the East Coast to the West Coast, bringing their passion of the sport with them. And I think going to be a hockey hotbed. And I think the West Coast, in time, will be thought of as maybe as good of a place for youth hockey as even, say, Minnesota at this point, because it's going to explode.
I agree. Look at if you look at the growth of the game from when Gretzky was traded to the Kings to where the California game is now. It's taken 15, 20 years, but I remember about 10 years ago, the first kids from that era in Los Angeles started making their way up through juniors, making their way up into the NHL. One of whom is Gabe Gulce, coach of the junior Las Vegas Storm here. He was from SoCal and came up through that, if I'm not mistaken. Got his cup of coffee with the Kings, actually, and then now he's our junior head coach. So, I mean, it's gonna happen, but look for those 8, 9, 10-year-olds in about 10 years to, you know, start doing what they're doing. Let's jump in. I want to bring Chris in now. Last time we totally shut him out of the first segment, and I did apologize to him for that. So I'm going to let him kick off the Central Division preview talk with you, Dana. Chris, why don't you jump in and fire away, buddy?
The question that I thought of this early this week, you talked about the Bruins a little bit last week in the Atlantic Division preview. I'm sure, Dana, you saw that Brad Marchand signed a very rich eight-year extension for $49 million. And I thought to myself, I wonder how much the threat of Vegas and being one year away from free agency impacted those negotiations. Well, what do you think about that?
I think any move and any negotiation that's going to happen between now and the expansion draft, I think the fact that Vegas is coming into the league is going to cross general managers' minds for just about every transaction. I don't, as far as the deal is concerned, I don't love these long-term deals. I don't love 8 years. I think I'd be more comfortable with this, you know, around the 6-year mark, 5-year mark, because when you get in that 7, 8 year, I mean, that rarely ever works out. But I think that they had to give him the years in order to get the discount, because he probably, you know, he could have probably made, I would say, I mean, you could probably 7.5 to 8. You know, maybe. I'm probably in a 7.5.
If he duplicated last season. But if he kind of, you know, it was the first year he broke 30 goals. He's always been a solid 25 goal guy. Yeah. So if he kind of fell back, you know, he definitely would have gotten $6 million a year. So, yeah, sure. And on the open market, you know. So it was definitely good news for TJ Yoshi, that's for sure.
Well, I will say this. I'm glad to see that, because I felt like Don Sweeney might be in the mode of turning the soil over a little bit in Boston. And, you know, I'm a huge Tuukka Rask fan. I think he's, when he has the proper defenseman in front of him, I think he's a solid goaltender. I think he's an elite goaltender. And I think also this is a year for the Bruins where Claude Julien has to get his team in the playoffs because, you know, come around Christmas time, but this team is out of the playoff, or not out, but, you know, out of the picture at the time. I think they will make a move with Julien, which may be a positive for Las Vegas.
So who's Dana Lane's team in the Central Division?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Chicago to me. I mean, you look up and down. I mean, the only negative is if Corey Crawford gets hurt. I'm just not 100% sold on Scott Darling. I mean, I think he's an average goaltender at best. I mean, maybe a tick above average. But like with so many of these teams, that if their starting goaltender gets hurt, I'm just not sold on their backup. Now, with that being said, I mean, he's got a fantastic defenseman in front of him. I think they're probably, you have to get to their third line before you have any kind of, any kind of a worry with them offensively. But, you know, I mean, look, let's see, you know, we're going to have on that third line, we're going to have Marcus Kruger, who's going to be with Tyler Mott and Nick Schmaltz. And Nick is, a rookie. And I think you're going to start to see some of the kids come into that organization, which may affect the depth. I will tell you this. I do want to see how they rebound mentally after a first round 7-game loss to St. Louis. But on the flip side of that, that might be the best thing to ever happen to them because they're so used to playing deep into the playoffs that their turnaround time before camp is next to nothing. That might have been the best thing to ever happen to Chicago is to get outed early so they have proper time to rebound.
You're not concerned with the turnover Chicago went through? It seems like a common thing with the Blackhawks. But they lost some pretty important pieces from their championship runs. They did bring old friend Brian Campbell back into the fold. But like you said, the depth is going to be tested a little bit this year. Finishing third in the division last year. And then they're going to have a lot of moving parts once again. And that's a common theme. I always fall prey to the, that was it. And then they always prove me wrong. And then I go forward with egg on my face. But the losing the Teravainens and the Shaws and not Brian Bickle, not bringing back Andrew Ladd, that's a little bit more deeper into their roster than they've had to cut before. You don't see that as a setback for them?
Well, by comparison to the other thing, the other items that the other teams are having to deal with, I don't. I mean, you look at Dallas, and, you know, if you're building a team from the goaltender out, which, you know, I think you got to win a cup with at least a couple pairs of good D-men and a solid goaltender. I just don't know, you know, between Lettinen and Niemi, I'm shocked that they didn't make some sort of a deal, or I think it's got to come soon because I don't like either of those goaltenders. And you just basically are going into the season the same way that you went in last year. And oh, by the way, you know, now you have some injuries to face. And I think Dallas is going to – I think they're going to take a step back. But as far as going back to Chicago, I mean, I think the layoff for them is actually going to help them. And, look, I mean, if Duncan Keith is 100%, if his knee's 100%, I think – you look at their top D-core with Keith and Johnmerson and Seabrook and Campbell. I mean, I don't know if their second pairing is not going to even be better than their first pairing. And I love that combination. And, again, it just comes down to Corey Crawford staying healthy, because if Corey Crawford is not healthy, then I think you have a problem in Chicago.
I think when you look at the Central Division overall, what I took away from when I was breaking down each team, the roster turnover is kind of a theme from all of last year's top three teams. With Dallas was always the high power offense, questionable defense. As you mentioned, $10.5 million for that pair of goalies is way extreme. But then they go and lose Demers and Goligoski on defense, and they're basically, I mean, they got Dan Hamhuis, but they're really going to try and fill those holes from within. So you take the only weakness they had and and perhaps make it weaker. And then St. Louis, they go through. They lose their captain's gone, a couple other key players. I think roster turnover and who gels together earlier in the season is going to go a long way towards who's gonna take the division at the end of the season. I won't give it away because I got to do my preview predictions at the end of the show, but I don't know. I just say I don't know if I have any of those three teams winning the division this time around.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You were cutting out. It's cutting out a little bit, so I apologize.
Oh, no, that's all right. I was just saying that the roster turnover and which team gels together out of those top three teams, Dallas, St. Louis, and Chicago, early in the season is probably going to go a long way towards who's going to take the division as you get towards April. But there's another team there that I think is going to be a dark horse that people need to look out for, too.
Yeah, I mean, as far as St. Louis is concerned, I mean, reports out of camp already are saying that Carter Hutton is the best player on that team. And so they might have another 1-2 punch there between Jake Allen and Carter Hutton. And I like Carter. I mean, I think he's a solid goaltender. I'd like him to get a save percentage up a little bit. But as far as goaltender is concerned, I think they're pretty solid. I think they're defensively, I think they're pretty average. I'm not a huge Bouwmeester fan. I'm not a huge Shattenkirk fan, even though they, you know, and this was just defense. I think they really have to step their game up to get to the level that they performed at last year, or the team performed at last year. But shoot, offensively, they're pretty deep. In fact, if that Fabry and Letera and Perron line start to shine, they're going to be pretty fantastic and push Chicago. But if even outside of them, if you get down to their offensive depth on the blue line, I mean, I think they're pretty solid. So I think St. Louis is going to push Chicago for sure. But Chicago, I mean, top to bottom, comparing, you know, putting these guys on paper, you know, I just don't see another team in the division, name-wise at least, that can compete with them.
Well, have you done your – I know you do your power rankings. So where are you at in the process of that as we head towards the season?
Yeah, no, I mean, I have them right now. I mean, I have Chicago number one. I have St. Louis number two. I really think Dallas is going to take a step back, and especially if Tyler Seguin's on 100%. I have been down on this team, and I know a lot of people are not going to be they're not going to jump on this bandwagon with me, but I think they're going to struggle this year. I think they're going to struggle this. You know, I mean, obviously, I think they're going to be, you know, in that 10-game over range, but I think they're going to squeak into the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be like it was last year, because from January on last year, they were a pretty average hockey team, and I just don't like I don't like their goaltending, and I think Minnesota is going to be a better team. I think Nashville is going to be better, and I think you're going to get a better effort out of Winnipeg too. I mean, they have potentially an explosive first line with Patrick Laine and Shifley and Blake Wheeler. So that if that line comes together, that's a pretty formidable front line.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that, actually. That's one of the little tick marks in my notes that I wanted to get with Matt Pryor on was how he thinks that line and that group is going to do up there. They're another team that continues to go through roster turnover as we look through the Central Division. I know they don't break down odds by division, but if you go through the list on the futures lines right now, does the Chicago right up there at the top?
Yeah, Chicago's 8-1 to win the Stanley Cup. They're 11-4 to win the conference. So yeah, they're number one, and then Dallas is at 12-1 and 13-2 to win the conference, and that's followed by St. Louis and Nashville. Minnesota's taken a little bit of a jump up. They would be next at 20-1 and 9-1. And Colorado would be at the bottom of that at 45-1 and 22-1 to win the conference.
Just real quick on Colorado, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
What do you think the effect of the Patrick Roy departure is going to have? Is that going to be a plus for that club?
You know, it's interesting. You know, you listen to interviews, and he clearly was a player's coach. I think that a lot of people like playing. I don't think if I'm a listen, this thing has been going back all the way to the draft, okay? So if you're unhappy with the way the direction of the team is going, perhaps back in the draft you make this move. I don't think you make this move as you're about ready to go to camp. You know, Patrick Roy, to me, has had basically one successful season, and he's rode that to, you know, many other opportunities. But he has not been a great playoff coach, and I think his teams allow too many shots. They don't dictate play. And maybe that is addition by subtraction, but you know, definitely Joe Sakic. I think the first couple months is going to have a hard time putting this thing together. And I think they're pretty weak in goal. I think they're pretty weak on defense. I don't, you know, I mean, you look at their guys offensively, and you know what line scares you? Nathan MacKinnon played well in the World Cup, but other than that, I mean, what line scares you? Landeskog scare you? I mean, Matt Duchene? I guess Duchene is probably the big weapon. And
yeah, Duchene scares me a little bit.
Weapon, what's that?
Watch out for Mikko Rantanen this year, though. Boy.
Yeah, flash.
So that's the thing. I mean, if you've got a guy like that's going to come in and have a good season, great. But when I'm sitting here looking at teams, I can't anticipate what somebody is going to do if they've never done it before at this level.
Right.
And you know, and look, I mean, if they put him on the Soderberg line, I think, you know, there certainly is an opportunity for him to have a great season. But I can't sit here, and especially when we're talking about from a gaming aspect, I can't sit here and cross my fingers that some of these guys are going to, you know, have fantastic seasons on a team that I don't know has the people around them to make them good players.
No, 100%. Do they?
Or at least shine to the point where, you know, Colorado can be better than what I think they're going to be.
Are there any books that post over-under on win totals or points totals in town like they do for, like, football and baseball?
Oh, yeah. No, they all do.
They all do
they
now?
They all have the win totals. Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody has a win total up for a team. I don't have them in front of me. I'd be happy to get them for next week. But,
okay.
Yeah, every book has season win totals for the NHL.
That'll be interesting to talk about. Well, let me let you go. I got to get Matt Pryor's going to join us here in a little bit. I got to get him on the line, sir. And we'll talk to you. We're going to do our We're going to do our Metro Division preview. We're going to be recording at an odd time Sunday, so look for that early next week too. And we'll talk to you then. Dana, thanks again for joining us.
Well, guys, I appreciate it very much. Have a great week, and we'll talk again.
Okay, go Rebs.
Thanks, Dana.
Yes, sir. Go Rebs. Yes, sir.
Okay, that was Dana Lane with Dana Lane Sports and also the play-by-play voice of UNLV Hockey. And now coming into the Vegas Hockey Hotline is Matt Pryor. You could follow him at BigTex26 on Twitter. He also covers Dallas Stars and Florida Panthers for thehockeywriters.com. Matt, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
No, it's good to talk to you. It's been too long. Our summer of discontent is about to come to an end. Hockey season is back to save us all, so it's good to talk to you again, sir. We're going to bust into the Central Division preview here. Let's start right at the top with your Dallas Stars. My two questions are both on defense. Goligoski and Demers, tell me how that, which last year when we were looking ahead, we all kind of agreed that the offense was going to be terrific, special teams was going to be terrific, goaltender play would probably be just sufficient, and if there was a weakness, it was going to be on defense. And I did like the signing of Oduya last year to come in and bring that Stanley Cup pedigree to the back end. But now you've lost two of your key defensemen. And as I saw in your article that previewed the Dallas Stars season over at the Hockey Writers, you indicate that they brought in Dan Hamhuis, but you indicate that for the most part they're going to try and fill those positions in house. On the surface of it, it looks as if the one area of the team that may be considered a weakness just got weaker. Do you perceive it that way, or do you got something to educate me on?
Well, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. You've got younger players now replacing, just in general, replacing Goligoski and Demers. But they're bigger, they're stronger, and this was an issue against St. Louis. The Stars' defense got pushed around in their own zone by the Blues forwards, and so by subtracting Goligoski, Demers, and Chris Russell, who are all, I believe, 5'11 or shorter, and replacing them with Esa Lindell, who's, I believe, 6'3". Patrick Nemeth is 6'2 or 6'3". Jamie Oleksiak, of course, is about 11 feet tall. They're going to have a more imposing physical presence. And I think it was a move designed to help them get past St. Louis next spring. So I think it's going to work out all right. Now, the downside, of course, is them being younger players, they're going to make some mistakes. You know, they're going to learn some things the hard way. But then again, you know, Goligoski is a veteran player, and he had some really cringeworthy turnovers in the playoffs, and several of them ended up in the back of the net. And so I think overall it's going to work out well for the Stars.
Okay, and maybe not right away, but I think that's maybe what a lot of people might think they would need, was a more physical, responsible, steady presence on the blue line. So if it is addition by subtraction, then you would not too much other turnover. We were talking with Dana Lane before you came in, and one of the themes as I was going through all the teams in this division is there's at the very top Dallas, St. Louis, Chicago, and then even towards the bottom with Winnipeg. There's a lot of roster turnover in this division, and I what do you think about just that theme as who gels first could carry that through to the division? What do you think about that?
Ooh, that is a good question. And frankly, that's more of a regular season question. I can't believe you're asking me that in the preseason.
We're ready to go here at the Vegas stretch. Hockey Podcast. Yeah, well, when I look at sorry, I just got a message there. When I look at St. Louis and they've lost their captain, and I look at Dallas and the turnover on defense, and I look at Chicago with Teravainen, Shaw, Bickle. They didn't retain Ladd, who I thought was, you know, Ladd. and you know, Winnipeg going through still more. I mean, there's a lot of question marks even right there at the top of the division.
That's true. And I think there are the two teams who are the front runners as far as gelling first would be St. Louis and Dallas. And I say that because Dallas, by and large, the you know, with the exception of Dan Hamhuis and Yuri Hudler, the players they lost, they're replacing internally. So you're bringing in guys who are familiar with the system already, and so it's there will be fewer bumps along the way as they transition. And St. Louis is kind of in the same boat because, yeah, they lost David Backes, which is a huge loss for them.
Yeah, for sure.
And Brouwer, of course. But they're I believe mostly replacing them from within. I mean, they signed David Perron, but he played with the Blues previously, so he's coming home essentially.
The much traveled David Perron.
Yes. And so I think they're gonna count on youngsters like Jaden Schwartz and Robbie Fabry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they will hit the ground running. The Stars certainly have to hope that they're able to hit the ground running, because 11 of their first 20 games are against Central Division opponents.
Ouch. So,
yeah, there's going to be very little margin for error. If I remember correctly, last season in their first 20 games, they only played 3 against Central Division opponents. So it was kind of like college football. You know, the teams have these easy schedules the first few games before they start their conference play. The Stars kind of did the same thing last year, and as we saw, they took full advantage of it. And they're not going to have an easy schedule in October and November this time around. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they do. But I do think they have an advantage over the other team, Chicago especially. Their forward depth really concerns me. Because as you said, they lost to Andrew Shaw. Andrew Shaw is a Swiss Army knife. You know, he can do it all. He can play any forward position, and he's one of those glue guys. And I don't see where they've replaced him, really. I mean, there's going to be someone filling that roster spot, but he's not going to be able to do what Andrew Shaw does.
I agree. Now that leads me on to let me bring Chris in. Chris has been the silent majority here this evening. Chris, what do you got for Matt tonight?
Well, it's great to have Matt back on the show. You know, looking at my notes, we haven't had him on, you know, Mark, since round one Eastern Conference predictions. We won't go there because, you know, I know there's some wounds and stuff. But,
The fisticuffs in Florida. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I got to give Matt credit because he said the winner of that series would win the series in 6, which they did. And he says the difference would be goaltending, which he was right about. He just had the wrong team. But as I digress, so here's my first question for you, Matt. If I told you out of Colorado, Minnesota, or Winnipeg that one of these teams would have a sleeper team this year, and who would Matt Pryor put his $5 wager on?
I think of those three teams, I'd have to go with Colorado.
Hmm. Why is that?
I think number one, changing coaches is going to be a good thing for them. It's unfortunate that it happened so late in the summer, but Jared Bednar, I think, well, you know, he led Lake Erie, now Cleveland, to the AHL championship, and if he can hit the ground running, I think they're going to benefit from, more than anything, from not having Patrick Waugh as head coach. And I hate to say that, but I think it's another case of a superstar player making a subpar head coach.
I asked that question in the last segment. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to get your take on that as well. When he came in, obviously, they had the one great season there, but ever since then, it's been downhill. Do you think, obviously you do, that that's going to be beneficial as they go forward without Patrick Waugh's coach?
I really do. I'm not sure, you know, because obviously I didn't see a whole lot of AHL play, but obviously Bednar did a great job. I mean, anytime a team wins a championship, you've got to give the coach some credit. He did something right. And I think in general that it will just give the team a fresh perspective. And I think the possession is going to improve. And they've got some real young talent, especially Mikko Rantanen.
There you go.
I am really excited to see this kid, and I'm predicting right now he's going to be a finalist for the Calder Trophy.
the Finnish bull, I think. Then they wasn't he called the bull over in Finland? I was really high on him. The Finnish bull. Remember, I was high on him when we did our draft preview show 2 years ago. I thought he would be the first European skater taken, and I thought he would go number five to Carolina because I thought that would be a great spot for a left winger since they only had one or two natural left wingers in their whole system. But that didn't work out. I'm excited to see him play too.
Yeah, I mean, he last year at age 19, he came over to North America, played in the AHL, and in 52 games, he put up 24 goals and 60 points.
And he's a big boy too. He's not a little water bug out there flying around skating. He's gonna skate through people. He's a big boy.
Oh yeah, he's 6'4", 212.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, can you give your phone a smack? Starting to pick up some kind of pops when you're talking through it. Punch your phone in the mouth or something.
I'll see what I can do here.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Is that working? Is that better?
You know what? It is better. I don't know what you did, but it was getting a lot of poppy as it was coming through. So, yeah, sometimes you got to rough those old flip phones up, Matt.
Wow.
I got another question here for Matt in terms, and he touched on it about the Blackhawks. And, you know, year after year, we've seen them in the offseason being in a cap crunch, and they've had to make a number of machinations and moves to get cap compliant. But somehow, some way, they've been a contender every year. But you touched on it a little bit, Matt, and I think I know where we're going with this, but I'll ask the question. You think after this past offseason's losses, because there were a lot of losses, but there weren't a lot of gains, does the cap casualty moves finally catch up with the Blackhawks this year?
So, I mean, well, when I say that, I'll tell you this. I'm predicting them to finish fourth in the division. I think they're still going to be a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to hit 100 points. They are just too thin in the bottom six. You know, they're going to have Marcus Kruger centering the third line now, and he's coming off an injury. I think he only played 40 games last season, and he is a good fourth line center. Is he ready to take on third line minutes and responsibilities? We'll find out. But they lost Teravainen, they lost Shaw, they lost Pickle, and really the only outside addition was Brian Campbell. And, I mean, Campbell has been described as a young 37-year-old, but how long is he going to stay young? And I mean, you can start to see him. Well, I won't say him, his numbers. You can start to see his numbers slip when you look at his last couple years with Florida. And it's why the Panthers wanted to bring in Keith Yandle because he's, 7 years younger, 8 years younger than Campbell. And I know he'll be happy to play in Chicago again. That's home to him. He never sold his house there, apparently. He'll get a little boost from that. But he's 37. Hossa's 37. And a third liner now, really. And I just think in this division, they are the... if not the oldest team, they're one of the oldest teams, and they're also now one of the thinnest teams. I mean, their high-end talent is still, you know, all-star caliber, but beyond that, they're getting mighty thin.
I just had a thought on that when you were breaking this down for us. If I told you that either one of Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews was going to miss, let's say, 30 games this year, how much would you say they'd be in jeopardy of missing the playoffs?
Oh, I think they'd be in very real jeopardy of missing. I think this division is so competitive that any team that has serious injury problems is going to find their playoff chances in jeopardy. But Chicago in particular, because even completely healthy, like I said, I'm picking them to finish fourth. And so if you take away one of those high-end players, then maybe it's not fourth, maybe it's fifth or sixth.
So that means you got to have Nashville up pretty high then.
I do.
I like Nashville too.
I've got Nashville second.
I agree with that.
I will say that when I just estimated points, total points for each team, it's awfully close. Between first and third, I have a 3-point separation. And so it's funny because these are elite teams, but I can also see the flaws or the issues that they might have. Like with Nashville, you know, Pecorine, he's got a rebound.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, everyone talks about the Stars goaltending, and it is an issue, definitely. But, you know, Kari Lettinen's save percentage last year was .906, and Rene's was .908.
And there's a lot better defense in front of Rene than Lettinen.
True. And so you would think that his save percentage would be higher. But he's got to rebound.
He did rebound. He didn't respond in the playoffs, though. Other than Game 7.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see if he can keep that up. Because if he doesn't, then Nashville's got problems. You know, then maybe Nashville falls out of the top three.
You think they're one score is short?
Well, I think with a full season of Ryan Johansson, I think the Predators will no longer be the answer to the trivia question, which is the only current NHL franchise to never have a 40-goal scorer. I think Philip Forsberg will hit 40. Yeah. I looked that up a couple years ago. I couldn't believe it, but Nashville is the only one that's never had a 40-goal scorer.
So what do you think? Is it a game in, game out, consistent big year for Ryan Johansson, or is it going to be the little girl with the curl?
Ooh, Chris.
I think he's going to come in.
That's my problem with Johansson.
Man, I think that's the hardest shot I've ever heard you take, Chris.
I think he's going to come in motivated. I think the whole team is fired up by the acquisition of P.K. Subban.
Well, that's where I wanted to go, too, was how do you think Subban fits in the Laviolette team?
Oh, I think he's going to flourish.
I think so, too.
I think you're going to see Nashville play a more up-tempo game, which, as we all know, that's where the league is headed. And my only question, I was thinking about this earlier today. They trade Shea Weber for Subban, and I get that. You've got to give to get. But then they turn around and make Mike Fisher the captain. And nothing against Mike Fisher. I like him as a player, and from what I've seen, I like him as a person. But he is 36 years old and entering the final year of his contract. Hmm. And they gave him the C. So is there a leadership void in Nashville? I guess obviously they felt like none of the younger players were ready to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to get it in to get Kerry to sing the national anthem.
That's a possibility.
That might be what it is. Well, anyway, we got to get out of here, Matt. So you got anything else, Chris? I want to get his predictions before we go.
Let's get your predictions there, Matt, for the Central and who you have making the playoffs in terms of wild card.
All right. Well, I've got. I'll start in seventh place. I think it's going to be Winnipeg again. I have them coming in at about 86 points, so it'll be a slight improvement over last year. But
real quick before I'm sorry to interrupt. Real quick thought: what's Patrick Laine going to do this year as a rookie?
I'm predicting his rookie year, he's going to have 20 to 25 goals, and that's just the beginning for him. I'm really high on that kid. But he'll play on the second line, and he'll score 20 to 25, and Winnipeg is going to love him.
Okay.
But
okay.
Gotcha. All right. So you got Winnipeg in seventh. Okay.
Yeah, Winnipeg in seventh, Minnesota in sixth, with 90 points. They're just, to me, there's still some question marks there. The biggest one, of course, Eric Staal. Is this going to really be a fresh start for him? Does he have anything left in the tank? Jason Pominville, too. He needs a nice bounce back year because I think he's under contract for another 3 years at about 5.6 mil. So, sixth place Minnesota, fifth place Colorado with 92 points, fourth Chicago with 98, third I have Dallas with 103, second Nashville with 104, and first St. Louis with 106, and I would throw out the disclaimer that any major injuries or goalie issues, because really the top three with Jake Allen, Pecorine, and then the Stars tandem, they've all got goaltending issues. So if any of the goalies crap out, then that 1-2-3 order can be thrown off completely.
I think that goes without saying. All predictions got to be based on a healthy roster going throughout. You know, minor injuries for sure, but I mean, if you lose your number one center, your starting goalie, or something, we can't hold you responsible for that.
It's a rare team that has two excellent goalies. I can only think of a couple.
There were a lot more before this Las Vegas team started happening.
Yeah, that's true.
There were a lot more. Unfortunately, they've all kind of dealt with that pretty good. I've got my eye on a couple still, but Brian Elliott was one for sure that I was thinking, okay, they're going to go one more year. They've been wanting to go with Jake Allen as the man for, geez, how many years? So I figured that would be a perfect guy for them to leave dangle out there, and I would have been happy to start off with him in net. That's for sure.
Aren't they naming the street to T-Mobile Arena? Isn't it being changed to Big Ben Way? Didn't I hear something about that?
Oh. I think if they had to change the name right now, it would just be Foley Circle, man. You know what I mean? Foley Circle at McPhee Drive. And, I mean, they're going to get it done. That's where the street name's got to go, that's for sure.
I like it.
Well, anyway, Matt, I look forward to we'll finalize how we're going to hook up next week at Frozen Fury. So I'll look forward to meeting you and enjoying a cold adult beverage before we head in to watch the King Stars game next week. And I'll see about anybody out there who needs a home for the King Stars game. There might be a couple tickets available. Hit me up, Mark Warner at Vegas Hockey Pod, VegasHockeyPodcast.com. Or hit me on Twitter at Vegas Hockey Pod if you need a couple tickets for the game. Matt might have a couple extras for below face value for the
Kings Avalanche game. King Stars, he's not giving those tickets up, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
But, for Kings Avs, we might be able to get a couple tickets for you guys. So hit me up if you need a pair of tickets. Look for Matt at Big Tex 26 on Twitter. He links all of his
Big Tex
1926.
At Big Tex 1926.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I did use a lot of your article there from the Star season preview as I was looking forward into this show. So thank you for that. And if anybody Stars or Florida Panthers at thehockeywriters.com, make sure you find Matt. All his content's really solid stuff. So, Matt, thanks for joining us, and I will look forward to meeting you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me. Looking forward to next week, too.
Okay. We'll let you go. Have a good night, man.
You too.
Thank you, bye-bye. Matt.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Pryor and Dana Lane join the Vegas Hockey Podcast, break down the Central Division. Chris, I'm going to let you go first with your predictions. If you want to go all the way through seven, you can. We kind of did just the top three, and then we'll save our wild card picks for the last show. Okay, sure. Give me your top three.
I got Dallas coming in third. They're explosive still, to say the least. You know, I'm more concerned with their goaltending than their young. I think the young defensemen are going to do a decent job. I wasn't a huge Goligoski fan. Good for offense, but they needed more of a stabilizing defense kind of guy. So I don't have a problem with that. I think Hamhuis, if he stays healthy, could help them. I have St. Louis in second. They've lost some key pieces there, to say the least. They're kind of like in a position of Stanley Cup or bust. Stanley Cup win or, you know, it has been a good year. So it's always under the microscope there. You know, you keep wondering, you know, Ken Hitchcock is kind of a year-to-year kind of thing, as well as he's on a one-year extension. You know, obviously they still have a solid team. They don't have that two-headed monster tandem, if you will, as you probably say, with Elliott and Allen anymore. If one falters or gets injured, you have the other. So that will be something interesting to watch, how Jake Allen handles the pressure of being the guy. And he did sign an extension this past offseason, so he is the guy. And I really like Nashville. I mean, I feel of all the teams in this deep, in the best division in hockey, excuse me, they have the best mix. I think they have the deepest mix. I think the way they played in the playoffs last year is really going to help this team in terms of believing to this year. I think Subban is going to flourish, as Matt said. I think he's going to help them a lot on the power play. They've always been a very tough home team. They're deep on defense. If they were able to get one more forward in the offseason, be it a trade or free agency, I would love them to pieces. But I still like them. I think they're going to win the division.
You took my sleeper, dude. That was.
Well, I don't know if they're a sleeper, but
if they can get a 85 to 90% Pekka-Rinne, absolutely. Hello, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I was listening.
That was all I had to say about that. No, I'm just kidding. I think if he comes back and he's on form, I see too much, and I fall into this trap every year. I see too much roster turnover in Chicago, and I will say that it's never stopped them before. But I think maybe this year, as I said earlier, I think it goes a little bit too deep. I also think that when you bring up your young defenseman, it's going to take a year, maybe two, before you really know what you have there. It's just tough to do. So I think the Stars do take that step back. I think losing Backes in St. Louis and the other guys that they left, they take a step back as well.
But I don't see any of the. I don't see the Avs or Winnipeg making a run, really. I hesitate to move the Wild up, although Bruce Boudreau does get a nice uptick when he joins a team for regular season play. So I'm kind of still undecided on that. I think I'll just stay. Predators is my dark horse there in that division. I don't want to count out Chicago. I have too much respect for that club and their superstars, but if the injury bug does hit them, that's going to be real tough for them to overcome that with the depth that they have now. I'll agree with Matt that I think St. Louis is going to be most able to overcome the players they lost and you know, keep the train on the track earliest out of the gate of those last year's top three. So I'm going to take St. Louis third, and I think Dallas, the goaltending and the defense, I know they got the high-flying offense. I know they've got probably the most explosive Ben Sagan. I mean, come on. That's probably the most explosive offense in the league, and they – as long as they're healthy, they're probably just going to get better. But I got questions on goaltending defense, so I'm going to put Chicago in third place. Because I can't write off that. Right. I cannot write off that team. I'll go a little bit against Dana earlier in the show. I am sold on Darling as a backup goalie. I mean, if you remember, not last year, was it? But 2 years ago, he actually benched Crawford because Darling was playing better. Down the stretch, and he let Darling take them into the playoffs as their starter. So I don't think Coach Q has any questions in his mind about what he thinks about Darling, and that's good enough for me. I do think that he's more than a capable backup if Crawford does go down, which probably gives them the goaltending edge in the whole division, as they got the best 1-2 combo out of everybody, I think.
Yep, I could see that. So our next show, we break down a division near and dear to my heart. We break down the Metro Division, and we have Mark Sheik who joined us for the Big Draft Show and did a tremendous job. He covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for the HockeyWriters.com. And, you know, just in case you missed our first preview show on the Atlantic Division, first of all, shame on you. Second off, you can find it on SoundCloud, iTunes, I believe, as well as the HockeyWriters.com under the podcast page. So check that out. We had Dana Lane kicking off the show as this show did, and we had Mr. Andrew Forbes at Andrew G. Forbes from the HockeyWriters.com breaking down the Atlantic Division. So that was a very good show. So that's a must listen. And if you missed our summer shows, shame on you again. But check out our interviews with George McPhee, the Vegas GM, as well as ex-NHL goalie Clem Larchuk. So looking forward to the next show, my friend. It's like I said, it's kind of like home week.
Yeah, for sure. We are, the season's getting closer. We were talking, it's 2 weeks from tonight is puck drop, opening night. Real quick.
That's right.
Real quick, does Team Europe get a win? Or does Canada take them out?
I think they do. I think they do. They'll be for some reason, I think they're going to get a win.
I did get a chance to catch the end of the second and some of the third. Europe was skating with them. Europe. I mean, it was a 2-1 game. So I think Gabbert missing takes just that little punch out of Team Europe, and it'll be interesting to see. I kind of want them to get a game just so we get a game three finale, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. Canada's fantastic. Anyway, I think that'll just about wrap it up for tonight, and we're going to be doing our Metro Division. We're going to be recording it Sunday. For whatever reason, I guess everybody's schedule lines up that way. So we'll try and have that out And then we'll have to, we're saving the Pacific for last, and we'll try and get that up next week. And then one more show, we'll give out our playoff predictions, and it's going to be time to drop the puck, man.
I'm looking forward to it. We're working on a lot of good guests, both in the rest of October and the first half of November, too. So we're busy at work laying the groundwork.
Yep. So we're gonna get out of here. Make sure you follow us at Vegas Hockey Pod on Twitter, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Make sure you follow Chris at the NL King on Twitter. He posts links to the articles he writes for the new fan-sided site he writes for, eyeontheisles.com, as well as his work at Last Word on Sports. So make sure you check out all his stuff there. For Chris, I'm Mark, and we're gone.